My name is Lawrence Allen.
I'm Ronald Shaw.
I'm Rahul Vora.
And this is Bad Time Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Bad Time Radio. First, we have a treat for you people. You know him from our excellent Wishmaster 2 Demon Tree and Weird Hypnosis episodes, and from the excellent Cannonball podcast. Please welcome returning guest and, dare I say, returning champion, Daniel Dottie. Daniel?
Yes. Hello, everyone. It is great to be back for my fifth round. That doesn't really sound right.
You're essentially a co-host at this point. Let's be real.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's you and Claude, except Claude's on a bit of a hiatus right now because he's got raising kids and teaching full time and worrying about things. And also, I think he's setting his yard on fire with a flamethrower nightly at this point.
Oh, one of those things to burn weeds.
Well, no, he started with that, but it wasn't up to the job. So now he's just full on military grade flamethrower.
Okay.
That's a little inside joke if you know Claude.
He is having a heck of a time in his returning to his native Virginia. I'll say that.
Yeah. And tonight we are discussing an episode of The Price of Fear. We've never done The Price of Fear, so I'm going to do a very, very, very light summary on it, which is just it's a British series from the, I believe, mid-70s. And the hook of it is that, as the name might suggest, every episode is narrated by Vincent Price, and a great deal of them also star Vincent Price. And the weird thing about it is that in a lot of episodes, he will just present it as, here's this weird thing that happened to be Vincent Price, renowned international actor. And it's not just like, hey, I knew a guy who saw a ghost. There's one episode where he becomes a cannibal. Yeah. And they range the gamut from pretty nasty 70s horror, although obviously not that gory, all the way up to like straight up, I'm not sure this counts as horror, it's so subtle stuff. And we're doing Out of the Mouths, which is very much in that latter camp of, I'm not sure this counts as horror. It sure is weird though. So let's go around the horn and would you recommend this? Dan, as the guest, why don't you go first?
I would say yes. I was not expecting this. But I did have a good time. And my lunch hour went by in a flash. So I would give it a recommend.
I'll go next. So this one was not anywhere near as funny as I had remembered it being. This was one that I picked from my big vault of, hey, I remember this radio show being funny. It was not exactly scary. I think that if you read this in a collection of horror short stories from about 1930, it would sort of fit in there because it's very much in that vein of this weird thing happened. No one really knows why, and it's never really explained why. So it doesn't really operate on the level of actually being scary. But that said, it's pretty entertaining and just straight up weird. And I mean, it goes by pretty quick on 1.1 speed. So why not check it out? Ronald, what do you think?
Yeah, I would give this one a light recommend. Vincent Price does a really good job as the narrator, keeps it pretty entertaining. The story's really weird. It's not particularly interesting because like not that much really happens, and a lot of the things that do happen don't make any sense. But that being said, well, so the story itself isn't that interesting. But that being said, the performance kind of sells it, and the whole mystery of what the hell's going on kept me entertained enough that I enjoyed my time with it.
Okay, and finally, Rahul, what did you think?
I have elements of everybody's review here where I thought it was well done. Did not expect it, but I also thought it was a little boring. I didn't think the juice was worth the squeeze, as they say. But I mean, it was still well done, so I give it a soft don't recommend.
Okay, and with that out of the way, let's lay a little groundwork on what we're actually not recommending. So, is there anyone who doesn't want to be on deck for summarizing?
I don't want to.
Okay, fair enough. I will go ahead and adjust the roll accordingly, and then I will hit it. And we're going back to the old or to the standard. You have 1 minute to summarize. You can do whatever you want. Everyone else has to mute. So let's see who's summarizing. Ah, shit, it's Ronald. Okay, Ronald, we've got...
I've done one of these.
We've got 1 minute on the clock.
All right.
I'm going to give you a countdown and then everyone else mute, okay?
Sounds good.
3, 2, 1, hit it.
Okay, so it starts off with this scientist guy. I don't remember his name. And the narrator's kind of describing him as a special scientist who's really smart. And he's talking to, he self-describes as like, he's a scientist of what makes us tick, which is like biochemistry and DNA and all kinds of combinations in the body. And he's trying to figure out, like, I guess, what the secret to life is. And he's talking to a colleague about how he's very interested in, there's a period of time he believes at the beginning when a baby is born where they know everything, and everything that they're taught is undoing like pure knowledge. So he basically subscribes to the baby geniuses style of learning, where when a baby is from 0 to 1 year old, they're geniuses. And he forms a site, and he has a kid, and he forms a psychic link with the kid, and for some reason turns him into a baby.
Oh yeah.
That was a great summary. That's exactly what happened.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot more to it, but yeah, he hangs out with the kid, and then for some reason, hanging out with that kid makes him a kid, and they don't explain why.
They don't explain why, but it also makes him a genius.
Yeah, and
he doesn't actually do anything with that genius, he just kind of tells everyone that I'm smarter than you now.
Yeah, he writes some shit on the board, they feed it into a computer, yeah, the computer's...
equations.
Yeah, the computer's this equation doesn't make sense. And then he's like, well, you're looking at it wrong. And then he goes and plays with the trade set.
What was the year? I'm sorry if you already said. What was the year this thing was released?
One sec, I'll pull up an exact year.
I just want to understand what a computer meant to these guys.
That's a good point.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of, the year kind of doesn't matter, but...
yeah, that's true.
This is claiming June 20th, 1983, but I don't think that's correct. Let me check another site.
Yeah, so computers were like vacuum tubes back then, I think.
I'm imagining, yeah, some kind of like ENIAC-style giant clacking cabinet in a room.
It takes like 2,000
and they got right, they got the... They got the
oh my god! This thing did air in 1983, Jesus Christ.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Seems right, pretty so pokey for an 80s product.
A little more sophisticated. It wasn't clacking, but it was whirring with tape reels.
Yeah. I will point out that that means that this series aired like 6 years before Fear on 4, which is that incredibly nasty one we listened to about the horror farmer. And it is kind of astonishing to me that there's that little time between the two.
Yeah, you know, it does strike me as definitely a more of a throwback kind of vibe for sure. If it's airing in 1983, like by that point, you've had, you know, at least horror in cinema has definitely gone in a gnarlier direction.
Well, yeah. How old was Vincent Price in 1983?
For real. Let me see when he was born. You guys are making me Google an awful lot.
How do you not just know this stuff off the top of your head, Lawrence?
Yeah. He was born in 1911, so he would have been in his 70s?
72.
Jesus. Yeah.
All pretty right. Sprightly for a 72. Yeah.
He sounded pretty good.
Anyways, so let's get into some high points, I guess. And I'm going to start with a serious one, which is that I think that in general, the dialogue in this is pretty well done. It's kind of, it's got that thing where a guy will say something and then a person will kind of disagree with them, and then he'll repeat the thing he said. And it's like real witty, 'cause he's like, see, you're proving my point, even though you didn't mean to. And I think that that kind of writing is really cool and I enjoyed it. So yeah.
Yeah. The dialogue was very good and the acting.
Yeah.
I thought like everything was just high quality production in this.
Like there's a scene where the wife is the guy's who turns into a baby's wife is freaking out, and she like legitimately almost sells that it's right for her to be upset that her husband got into train sets.
Well, I thought, yeah, like my favorite part in that monologue that she does was when she was saying like he's lost his taste for anything savory. It's all he wants is lemonade and jelly sandwiches.
Oh yeah, I really enjoyed the part where she was like, he used to think comics would rot your brain, and now that's the first thing he turns to when he opens the paper. Yeah. That's not a horror concept.
That's just like, that's the thing that happens in like a whimsical comedy after the Manic Pixie Dream Girl has made the guy start appreciating life again, you know?
Yeah, that's right. He just turns straight to Hagar the Horrible instead of the op-ed page now.
Yeah, although, of course, since this is British, anytime someone has enjoyed themselves, it proves that there is something very wrong with them.
Something deeply wrong. Yeah, yeah. That was like they introduced his childlike behavior with audio of him happily playing with children. And it was like, what is happening? Yeah, what is going on?
And it's like, wouldn't that be normal when you have a kid? I feel like, to cut to a low point really quick, one of the low points of this whole thing is the story structure, because like the dialogue and like the acting is all really good, but the story structure is just like really weird, because I think that there's like a base of something really good here or a really interesting idea, but they explored it in a weird way by like being like, the wife is immediately suspicious when he starts being childlike, when it's like, I feel like in a good story, what you would do is it starts off as a positive kind of thing, and they both are like happy with it, and it's this cool thing that he's like connecting with his kid, and then like they start seeing some weird stuff, like he doesn't go to work anymore, or like, I don't know, he can't think like an adult.
He forgot how to use a toilet, maybe, you know.
Yeah. There's
any number of directions you could take.
I almost felt like it did a little bit of that, because there was a part, so he seemed like really stuck up initially, and then he's like hanging out with his kid after it's born, and he's like talking baby talk to it, and I was like, I didn't think he had it in him, you know, like I didn't have any reason to think that, but just from the character that had been revealed to me, that was my impression of him.
That was because he was talking baby talk because he believed that baby talk is like the ultimate language that humans can't understand, though.
Yeah.
That wasn't because he was like connecting with the kid. Well, I mean,
he was just like,
I guess he was in this universe.
Loosening up, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you know, maybe you could take it both ways, but.
Like, I would posit, I don't think it's necessarily mutually exclusive that you could loosen up a little bit and tap into the deepest secrets of the universe.
You kind of have to loosen up your chakras, right?
Like, exactly, so, exactly.
So I have another high point, which is there. Well, okay, and I, whatever. They're describing the mathematical formula that he has produced by tapping into the primal wisdom of baby, right? And it's written in horrible handwriting, which is another sign that something is wrong. And the ultimate thing it proves, apparently, is just alpha equals omega, which is just garbage. That doesn't mean fucking anything.
The beginning is the end. Wow. You just like took one intro to philosophy class and came up with that, huh, bud?
Yeah, that was totally worth regressing yourself.
So he didn't take any classes, Ronald. So that's quite an achievement for him.
Yeah, but
that's the real horror, is it turns out that the dopiest kind of dorm room philosophizing is the secret of the universe.
Like, oh no!
What if baby's
my freshman
like,
roommate
whoa,
was right?
Dude, alpha is omega, bro. Omega.
And I'm sitting here listening like, no! It can't be!
Now, also, Ronald was doing a joke, but this idea that babies actually know everything, I mean, it might be a Baby Geniuses, it might not, I'm not sure, I haven't watched that film, but it does also take, that's how Socrates thought we were for some reason.
Well, that was my first thought. Well, I will say my first thought was Baby Geniuses, written and directed by Bob Clark of A Christmas Story fame.
And also Black Christmas, the first slasher movie.
That's right. I mean, the man's a genius. He must be really in touch with his baby side. But like the other thing was, like there was the Socratic idea that everyone has, like knowledge is not something that is gained. It's something that is recalled. It's something that is, you clear away the cobwebs to reveal it, that it has been there the entire time. And I would guess like that's kind of I would say that's probably the deeper origin of this trope you see every now and then, is that kind of, because that was like a deal in like in the Enlightenment. You would have, you know, I forget the exact name of the guy, but some psychotic French gentleman aristocrat who was searching. He was going to recover the Adamic language, like the true language of creation. by locking a child away and having no one speak to it until it spoke for itself.
This goes to show you shouldn't give the French children.
You should not give the French children. You should not give them quote unquote rational inquiry. The Enlightenment was a mistake. But yeah, there's that idea that you're recovering, right? You're not discovering, you're recovering. Yeah.
Did he actually manage to lock up a kid?
Yeah, he like took some peasant's baby.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it was horrible. No, this child grew up to be very maladjusted and had like permanent stunting of their verbal faculties.
Wait, maybe
yeah, it was awful.
We're the ones who are maladjusted, man.
Oh,
before we, yeah. That's right.
You know what, Dan? Though I'm gonna have to disagree with your assessment that it was Socrates that you say was it Socrates?
Yeah. Or, well, I guess it was yeah. Plato saying Socrates said this.
Okay.
So who the fuck knows?
I disagree with your assessment on that because I think what really happened was when Socrates was a baby, he looked into the future into Bob Clark's mind and read the script for Baby Geniuses.
You cracked this open.
We are through the looking glass.
We're getting to the bottom here, folks.
You could see the crazy thing is you could only figure this out in the present day, looking back.
Oh, word.
Yeah.
That's how, and you know what? And do you know what that means? That means omega equals alpha.
Oh, no!
Whoa! It's all connected.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. And there's probably a third U term in there, too.
I mean, presumably if alpha equals omega, then you can do some transitive stuff to prove all the other Greek letters equal each other, too.
I would. That's right. Oh, I mean, what are the implications of upsilon equaling gamma? I gotta know.
It's goo goo gaga.
It's
baby talk being the ultimate language is definitely the highest point of this whole thing. Like the idea that that babies who don't know not to swallow Legos and die is like and being like the ultimate like gatherers of information, knowers of everything is
maybe those
funny.
Babies just realized the dark, dark truth that it's better never to exist. You ever think of that, Ronald? God, maybe just full on nihilism.
Actually, it does some of this come from the animal world? You know, like from what Ronald's saying, like human infants are totally useless, but like, you know, like animal babies are not as useless.
That's a really good point.
Like instincts built in is what I'm saying.
Oh. Yeah, like a foal, like a newborn foal can like get up and run within hours after being
they, like,
born.
Know what to eat and stuff, and like
They
have instincts built in is what I'm saying. Like maybe that idea actually does make sense for
if you're observing, right?
Yeah, like, you're like, how does this snake know to like, I don't know.
That's
move,
true.
You know, like,
I mean, humans have instincts built in too.
That's true.
Yeah, but it's got to be a spectrum, right? Because, like, well, I don't know.
Well, it's, what happened with humans is that, as I understand it, we're actually born pretty underdeveloped as far as mammals go. Like, typically, like for the great apes, right? Like us and like the gorillas and chimpanzees, we're born especially helpless because our huge stupid heads have to be able to like pass out of another human's body so that we actually like can't we have to come out of the oven early and finish baking on the outside almost like a marsupial in that respect. Oh, what am I talking myself into? We gotta study kangaroo joeys to get the real
this
shit.
Is how we're gonna get to the bottom of all of this.
Do you think in the future when like we evolve another 1,000 years we're just gonna do away with natural childbirth and our brains will get bigger and bigger?
Oh man, that's gonna be so cool. We can get produced by Vidiae wombs and go kill the enemies of the emperor.
I guess.
It might be there. I recently learned that on an average basis, our skull size has actually been getting smaller over the last 10,000 years.
Oh shit.
Oh yeah. So, Lawrence has a book about this.
Oh yeah. That's actually terrible news. It's gonna mean we're even less psychic and more psychotic. Just awful stuff.
We We need to reshape our skulls, people.
It is so weird that that book has become this recurring joke on our podcast. This weird racist book from the 70s. That weird.
I mean, okay. So one time we're talking about, like, what would you do? Like, if there's a fire, what is the one thing you would save? And Lawrence is like, all right, like, I spent $200 million to get this racist artifact book. And he's like, my wife would burn to death, not save my book. Like,
yep.
And now he's like, dude, why do you always bring up my book, bro? Like,
you know, I actually have an amazing coda to that story.
Okay.
So a couple of months after it happened, we had a very severe windstorm in Albuquerque. And when I went outside, I discovered that one of the power lines near my house was hanging over my house at a 45 degree angle, which meant that I had to, you know, sort of do the math and figure out, okay, I've got like maybe a carload or two. I can get my possessions. I got to get my pets, my wife out of the house, because if that thing comes down, it's probably going to destroy the house in some fashion or another. And so I did actually have to do the math on what things I would save from the house if it was on fire, essentially. And you know what? The book did make the cut, but only on my second load.
you're like, Bianca, get back in the house and bring the book back.
You had to use my strategy of getting a Mountain Dew kickstart so that you could gain the energy to run in and grab the book.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to drive to the 7-Eleven, and I'll be back.
Paul, be cool. Just be cool. I'll be back in 5 minutes, and you can do the whole collapsing thing. Anyways, now that we've explored my racism a little more, would you guys like to get down to some low points?
Sure.
Okay, so I'm going to go for the first one, which is that this story, Ronald omitted it from his summary, but it actually starts with the guy getting fired and going out for a drink with his friend to commiserate. It's not quite fired. It's like he gets put on a leave of absence and he wants to quit, but everyone's like, yeah, think it over. Because apparently in Britain, you can kind of passive aggressive someone into not quitting, which is weird. But anyways.
What a beautiful culture they have.
Yeah. But anyway, so he gets home and he discovers that his wife has stayed up for him. And then they spend They spend about 5 minutes talking about everything. And she's like, I'm pregnant. And he's like, okay, that's cool. I'm happy. And then he makes an offhanded comment. I don't want it. She offers him some coffee and he says, I don't want any more. I'm full to the gills of it. So he has had multiple cups of coffee at like 10 o'clock at night, like an insane person. I will not. He deserved to get turned into a baby for that. Frankly.
Well, that scene, I guess I'm going to count that as a low point for me as well, because like he, and again, kind of establishing, you know, like that he's just kind of a dick. He came home and he was like, I hoped you were already in bed. I don't want to talk to anybody. After his wife had stayed up for him. It's like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
He was being a real dick. Okay, but let's be clear. I assumed that he was full to the ears of coffee because he had been drinking with his buddy and he drank a bunch of coffee so that he could sober up to drive home.
So your argument is it? So instead of like being a crazy person who drinks coffee after 5 o'clock at night, he is merely a drunk driver.
He's a drunk driver. Yes.
Yes. Yep. Yes. And I would say as someone who has made that calculus before at the Waffle House, I'm not saying it's a good plan. I'm not saying anyone should try it, but you know, some of us, you know, maybe some of us have that idea.
Yeah, I mean, he is certainly not the only one to have done that in the past.
And now I'm imagining a British Waffle House where the only thing on the menu is a full English breakfast.
They could. I'm gonna jump in right here, Lawrence, and say they could never. They could never pull off a Waffle House. They just don't have. They do not have the spirit for it.
We had some people visit from England. I was at a wedding where some people, like a bunch of the bridal party came in from England, and like they kept asking for the funniest restaurants. They were like, do you guys have IHOP? And it was like, dude, IHOP sucks. Trust me.
Like, man, you can't even get the Hobbit stack pancakes anymore. It sucks at IHOP.
Yeah, come on. Waffle House, you know, that's something, but. Like,
yeah, you can play the Waffle House. Yeah, you can play the Waffle House themed country songs on the jukebox there.
Oh.
Do you guys know about those? Yeah, that was on Raisin Toast.
Yes. Yeah. The songs that I am sure the people who work there love, because they always, the only way they get played is when drunk people show up and they're like, ha ha, Raisin Toast, rummy, like, boogie, yeah, or whatever.
This place where you work all day to keep yourself alive is a big fucking joke to me. Ha 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 ha.
Oh man, I wonder what this song about eggs and bacon is. Better play it. The fourth person who did that today. Fucking fantastic.
Christ. I guess I have a low point I would share if I'm not jumping anybody's spot or anything. I was a little disappointed with how it all ended, because he just like drives away and then gets better.
Well, he doesn't get better. He turns
into a permanent 11-year-old.
Yeah, he's like, I am now permanently whatever time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he kind of interpreted
what was happening then, because he's not like a toddler, but I guess
he's no longer un-de-aging, but he's just I am a prodigy from time.
He says he stops de-aging, but he said he also will no longer age forward.
Which, how so would he know that? Like,
because he knows everything. He's like a genius now.
Oh, he's the Omega. I forgot.
Well, he also said that he forgot. He doesn't. He can't learn anything anymore, or something like that.
Right.
Like whatever magic was happening with the Babby stopped. So he's just.
He still seemed like he knew stuff, though.
Yeah.
But now he knows stuff in the way a seventh grader knows stuff, which is to say, not at all.
So he can't learn anymore. Is that what he was? I thought he was saying he can't. I don't even know what he.
The magic thing that was letting him learn stopped, and now essentially, it was like one of those trade offer memes, and what he got was an equation no one understands, and what everyone else gained was he's an 11-year-old and forever. Good work, dude.
Right.
You know what I didn't understand about the ending is why was he sent away?
What else are you gonna fucking do at that point, dude?
Well, look, she's already taken care of a child; like she just has another one.
Well, they
that's a good point.
They're gonna dissect him. Well, they gotta see what happened.
Yeah, no.
All right, cut him up, boys.
There might be something to do this, boys. Where's the adrenochrome gland?
they do apparently start sending him to experts in everything from biochemistry to psychoanalysis, which, yes. I don't know, if a psychoanalysis somehow made you start aging again, I guess I'd believe Freud a little more. But anyways, and apparently they just sort of give him a name to the condition, and then shrug their shoulders, and eventually they're just like, I guess put him in a nursing home? ? Also, it does appear to be a straight up nursing home, so I guess he's spending all of his time playing canasta with 80-year-olds now.
As 11-year-olds love to do.
That's right, yeah. The permanent visit to grandma in the home.
Like a really weird response to your de-aging husband is to send him to an old people.
Well, she was so tired of making jelly sandwiches and lemonade. She just couldn't hack it anymore.
But then she's already doing it for another kid.
Right? That kid is eventually going to grow out of it, though. Plus, he's a bad influence on his kid, because he like bought him he bought him a train set, dude. There's no coming back from that kind of thing.
He'll make him read comics.
Dan and I were actually getting into an argument earlier today about whether it's more embarrassing to get into trades as a middle-aged man or Warhammer. And then Dan found a trade website, and it turns out that model trades are somehow more expensive than Warhammer 40K.
They're catastrophically more expensive than Warhammer shit, which is already embarrassing.
it's really insane how expensive trades
are. Yeah. There are some cool model trains, though.
Are they cool enough that you pay more for them than a fucking GE Force top of the line graphics card? Because that's what the Lionel Corporation is asking you to do.
Imagine though, building a train set that works in the middle of a Warhammer 40K battlefield.
See, that's right? Okay. Now we're talking. All right. But just to give you all an example of what me and Lawrence were discovering about this, how much would you be willing to pay for an official licensed The Polar Express elf handcart for your model train set?
$200.
I'm not gonna lie. I wouldn't spend much.
Yeah, I'm not gonna pay anything. But if I had to put a price to it, I'd say it's worth $200.
What the?
Well, you're in luck, dude, because I can get you one for only $110.
Oh, shit.
Wait. Is it just one? It's one car?
Yes.
It's not even a car. It's like, you know, in the cartoons where the hobos are pumping the thing to go down the train tracks. It's one of those.
That's $110.
That's 110 yes. fucking smackers.
The things that actually make locomotives and shit, all apparently north of $1,000.
Oh my god!
Wait, wow.
I just realized. So like, this is the Polar Express TM Elf handcart, $110. How much of that money do you think Robert Zemeckis is getting?
Like $109.99. That guy's a train.
That's movie. Right. He's getting the full cut. He was like, that Polar Express is my baby.
He worked.
I'm
out
getting
this
all
really
the back end points on that.
He worked out this incredible licensing deal so that he could plow it all back into making CGI that doesn't look as good as he thinks it does.
What has Zemeckis been doing lately?
I think he just came out with a movie that everyone hated.
He made that Welcome to Marwood thing with the very, very, very disturbing looking dolls that like are naked but don't have anything down there, which is so creepy in an adult drama. And it's about a guy trying to overcome the trauma of being queer bashed. But it's based on a real thing, so I guess that part's okay. Yeah,
it's based on actually a very moving documentary, which is the psychotic thing about it. Like, this story has been told in cinema in a very real and artful way by the person it's about, but it was made into this really schlocky, insane narrative. So, hey, do you guys want to know what Robert Zemeckis' latest movie is?
Yes.
Yeah, I would love to know.
That live-action Pinocchio that everyone hates.
Wait, the one with
that
Tom
just
Hanks?
Came out. The one that just dropped.
I have not even.
It's already out.
I'm going to watch the trailer.
And everyone hated it? And it was a Robert Zemeckis movie?
That doesn't sound right.
Am I hearing you right?
A Robert Zemeckis movie from the last, since like, what, Back to the Future that isn't good?
He made Castaway, right? Did he do Castaway?
No, he didn't do Castaway. He did Forrest Gump.
Oh, he did Forrest Gump. Okay.
That was kind of his artistic crest was Forrest Gump when he got all his Oscars.
Yeah, and I'm going to steer this a little bit back on track, which is
wait,
that
wait,
I have
wait. Before we do that, I just want to chime in that I was looking up a Waffle House restaurant in the UK's menu, and they've got something on it that I think is pretty enticing.
All right,
mm-hmm.
It's got a banoffee. I don't know how to say that banoffee, okay. Which is a banana smothered with homemade toffee sauce. And sprinkled with flaked organic milk chocolate. I think that sounds pretty good. And I've never had anything like that.
That doesn't sound like something you'd eat for breakfast, though. It's kind of my quibble with that being on the Waffle House menu.
That sounds like a...
I'm kind of into it because I do love me some toffee.
I don't think I've ever had toffee sauce sprinkled or smothered onto a banana. All right, we got to go to the UK.
It sounds like a Bluth banana.
it's you can get Bluth banana pie at UK Waffle House. Yes.
And what?
This is what the Queen died for. All right.
This is the virtue she believed in.
This is what she stood for.
Do you think that the Waffle House in the UK actually has the, like one of those royal seals or whatever the fuck, because the Queen liked to go there at very late at night when she was drunk.
Oh, I bet it is. I bet it's like Prince Andrew's, like the official. Like,
oh no,
he goes there in between, you know, activities.
The less well known and much less esteemed Prince Andrew's seal of approval.
I think we can tie this up with one last little tidbit. I looked up banoffee pie on Wikipedia. It has an article. Okay. And according to this article, it was Margaret Thatcher's favorite food to cook.
Huh.
Jesus.
So that just become way less appetizing.
Yeah, there's got to be
something
horrible.
In England, banoffee pie probably has beef.
How does the pie, you cook that into a pie? That's too much, I feel.
It's like whipped bananas and cream makes the pie filling. Yeah. And then you put the sauce and stuff on top of it.
Everything in Britain is a pie.
yeah. Everything is a pie. Yeah.
Anyways,
probably his beef. That's what I'm saying.
Wait, what kind of pies are you talking about?
Lawrence, back me up here. Everything in Britain has beef and is a pie.
Yeah. You know those guys who stand out in front of the palace in the weird hats? Technically pies, and they're called beef eaters. What more do you want? The law there is insane. Technically, murder is legal as long as the person you kill wasn't a pie. Very strange.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Yeah. That's common law. That's the common law tradition.
That, it's all linking together. I never knew what that was.
Yeah. Anyways,
this is the Omega part of the Alpha and Omega coming together, y'all.
Yeah. We're linking it back. We're linking it back to the episode now.
Yeah. Anyways, I do really have one last low point of this episode, I want to just get to, which is that the idea that babies know everything in the universe is so fucking stupid, and someone needed to tell the guy that it was stupid. Because, like, babies, okay, they choke on Legos or whatever. Maybe being dead is preferable because you know what the afterlife is. Fine, whatever. Why do they shit themselves constantly? There's no reason. There's no possible way that could benefit them. And because so this guy...
They're liberated.
Yeah. Here's the real reason. Here's the real reason, Lawrence. They looked at the future. They saw the law that I created. And they realized that they cannot sit shitting down.
So, diapers the only way. But wait, I guess you did say that you could shit while lying down, so
Yes. Okay. That's legal.
that's legal.
All allowed.
That's one of the laws that is the horrible fucking law that Ronald made. It is illegal to poop sitting down now. You have to be standing up or lying down. It's the worst fucking thing.
Standing up or lying down.
I voted
against. I did say that you could do it lying face down, you know. I gave Lawrence that one.
Oh well, that's a little better. No, it's not. What are you talking about?
Yes, it's the word. And when I asked what the reason for why you couldn't shit sitting down was, the only reason he gave was it's disgusting. And then Rahul voted yes, so now it's the fucking law.
Yeah, now it's the law.
Well, now we all see the babies understand, and they're the smartest things in the universe.
You know what you could do. I just thought about this, but we could make this work. You can go on one of those spinny rides where you're stuck against
the wheel. Stop it. How are we still talking about this?
Standing up, God, and you wouldn't make a mess.
Yes,
it would be not on yourself.
No, there's like, it's like, that's the toilet now, you know?
God damn it, guys. God, well, here's fucking thing. Damn it.
Now, how do those astronaut toilets work on the space shuttle? You could probably stand up and use one of those.
I think you have to push it out of yourself. I've read about this. It's a hard
thing. I don't want another episode that's all about poop. God fucking damn it. You already ruined the
Alpha equals Omega, okay? It's all poop in the end.
Yeah, no, but
that's what the babies know. That's what the babies know.
Pooping without gravity is like fucking impossible. It's like super hard.
I would like to try it one day.
Mr. Musk, I believe in your vision.
I have a dream.
I have a dream.
I want to be the first human to poop in space. And everyone's like, what about all the astronauts? And you're like, they don't count. Shut up.
They didn't. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about pooping in space.
Like, I don't need to come back. I just want to go up there.
You know those monkeys the Soviets used to send up? Let's do that, but for me, with poop.
They did send a monkey up there for a while, right?
So that monkey might have been the first thing to poop in space.
How did it poop? Because you need the training, right?
You're probably just
I hate to break it to everybody, but no one who sent an animal up into space was worried about cleaning it up once it got back, if you know what I mean.
Ooh.
Yeah, those were one-way missions.
Yeah, it's a pretty messed up situation.
I mean, but how long was it up there? Like, it would have been all filled with poop.
And it burns up in reentry, man. It all comes out in the wash.
Anyways, guys, let's talk about any fucking thing else. Anything.
It's a shooting star. It's
like... the first snowflake of the season.
Fuck, right. I wanted to do a nice podcast about an old-time radio show with my friend Dan. And then, God damn it.
Dan's one of us now.
I'm sorry. I've joined the Omega side. I'm not an Alpha anymore. I'm an Omega now.
Now, Ronald, I want you to shoot. Right. And Raul, I want you to shoot it with me straight. I want to do a law day segment. But are your laws about poop? Because if they are, I don't want to do the segment.
I promise no.
But you said it in a way where I think it is kind of the problem there, Ron. Fine. Okay. Let's move on to games, and we're going to do Law Day.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So can I go first?
Yes. Okay.
All right. Call to order. Call to order. Hear ye. Hear ye. I have a law that I would like to propose, gentlemen. The law is that any time, that you have to go number two.
God fucking damn it.
You have to go out on the street and yell it into a megaphone that you're about to take a shit. Okay. That's the entire law. Everyone has to do it, and you're executed if somebody finds out that you didn't do it.
Consequences. Now, what if you don't have a megaphone?
You need to buy one.
Does this
what if you're like a hobo?
I'll allow you yelling at the top of your lungs in an emergency situation.
And if you're mute,
sure, yeah.
If you're mute, you have to hold up a big sign.
I was gonna say there's no place for you in society.
Well, that's our unfortunately.
It's tough, but fair.
I mean, it's not fair. It is tough though. Okay, now yeah, Ronald, yeah. I have a question.
Okay.
Could I intentionally structure my day so that I mostly do my business early in the morning, or I'm mostly just out and about early in the morning and away from other people, so that although I do announce it in the megaphone, I am very rarely heard?
Oh, so it's like if a tree falls in the forest kind of situation?
Well, I mean, I spend most of my early mornings in the woods anyway, so this actually, I could maybe get on board with this if it just let me poop in the woods.
Yeah, you're allowed to poop in the woods. That's not part of the law. You know? As long as you do it, like, within 10 minutes of actually doing the deed, doesn't matter where you are.
Does this stack with your previous law that we have to poop standing up?
Well, yeah.
God damn it.
What part of these two laws do you not understand, Lawrence?
Okay, now what if it... Nah, never mind. Rahul, what question do you have for this?
My question, and it's an important one, is related to what Lawrence was saying, is can I simulcast my mic onto everyone else's megaphone?
You mean you want to announce it to the world instead of just your neighborhood?
Yes.
Yeah, that's definitely loud. In fact, it's encouraged.
Okay. Yeah. Then of course, then this gets my vote. Of course, this jobs good, yeah. to the union.
Yeah, you can see why it's necessary. You
know, raise awareness.
Yeah.
The megaphone industry is going to be booming because of this law.
Ronald, what happens if you're in a coma? Or something like that, where you can't move or you're unconscious when you poop.
It's not illegal if you're not aware that you're going to the bathroom.
No, I think a coma should mean that for every day you're in a coma, you're on the hook for one poop. So you're in debt.
You got to announce it? Like, if you're in a coma for a year, you got to announce it like 365 times?
Well, you have to do 365 poops, otherwise they execute you. And you have five days to make up your debt.
I'm assuming you're still pooping.
Oh, yeah, I guess you are. No, you're fed with a IV diet when you're in a coma.
Yeah, but you're still going to have to excrete. Like,
yeah.
But you only urinate, you know, right? You don't poop. Why, would you poop if you're on an IV?
I guess not.
God damn it. I just Googled how did the monkey poop in space, and I'm going to have to Google do you poop
in a coma? I mean.
Yes. You did. Okay. According to Quora, do people poop when they're in a coma? And the answer is yes, but the quality varies across hospitals. What does that possibly mean?
How is that possible? You're being fed.
No, what does it mean?
This is a horror hook right here. This is a horror hook. What is going on in the different hospitals? Like, where do I go? What now? I need to know, like, what hospital do I want the ambulance to take me to if I might go into a coma? Because I need to have the best movements.
Yeah, okay? You have their
don't take me to the place with the
highest quality BMs. No, but maybe you still get fed some kind of like thing every once in a while.
You get like a nutrient slurry.
Like on your birthday, they give you a piece of cake, I assume.
What? Oh yeah, I can see that.
Just jam it into your mouth, kind of.
Happy birthday, bitch.
Yeah, it still has the candle in it, though.
Wait, Rahul, why is Freddy Krueger the nurse at your hospital?
Wait, that's not your fantasy/nightmare?
Anyways, okay, let's fuck it. I can't imagine this getting any better. And Ronald, I have noted your betrayal in my oath book, so let's go ahead and fucking vote. As the creator of Law Day, I would like to say that if we deadlock, it does not become a law. Fine. Anyways, I'm going to vote no because I'm tired of Ronald's potty talk and pooping in the woods is not worth giving him a win at this point. Ronald? All
right. I vote yay because it's a great idea.
Raul?
I vote yes only because of the megaphone jobs.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Well, I'll let you invest in megaphones pre the law coming
out. Okay, good.
A little inside baseball on that one. I'll let you all do it.
Okay, Dan?
I'm going to have to vote no because I don't want the state taking away my secret IBS from me. I have to keep that under wraps.
Okay, Ronald, you go down to bitter, bitter defeat. Dan?
I'm going
to
appeal this. I hope you all know.
To the Supreme Court. No, I was trying to make a poop joke, but it didn't work. Poop Court? No, that's the closest I could get. It's still bad.
No, to the... To the ultimate throne.
There's a God throne. Himself.
Appeal to the throne.
Okay. Dan, do you have a law?
I'm going to pass. I don't know if I do. Well, no. I'm not going to do that. This is my chance to shape the world to my vision.
Well, you can let Rahul go first if you want to think about it.
If you want to think about it.
I got one.
Okay.
I would propose a law to make it illegal to mow your lawn.
Interesting.
And I say this because I haven't mowed a lawn in many, many years. I have either lived in apartments or like where we live now, it's like a townhouse thing. So there's like a landscaping service. I haven't mowed a lawn in a long, long time. My dad recently got a hip surgery. And so I was helping him out by mowing his lawn the other day. And I've also been doing a lot of reading about like ecology and ecosystems and all kinds of stuff. And all I could think of when I was mowing all this stuff down was how I was destroying so many habitats and just ruining this wonderful, thriving ecosystem that had, you know, grown in this place. And I felt very sad. I felt like, I was forced to choose between my love of the little critters and filial piety, you know, my sonly duty.
Yeah, and genocide.
I chose my father over the happiness and well-being of a large number of tiny creatures who never did anything to nobody. And no one should have to make that choice. Ergo, it's illegal to mow lawns. We're letting it go crazy. It's high time that we gave the earth back to the plants.
Now, Dan, will, if I were to xeriscape, for instance, would I still be allowed to do other kinds of maintenance to maintain it, or is it all
absolutely.
Like sort of?
See, okay. I'm talking about like clear cutting an expanse of grass, right? So I mean, so think of it this way, like, and I'm just talking about mowing. Like, if we want to keep the grass down, like we get some goats, you know, you get some sheep out there, something like that.
So would you be cool with a potentially borderline legal logging operation?
What? Well, so you've got like, are you proposing that wildcat lumberjacks would go out and like cut down individual like pieces of grass and shout timber as it fell and such? Is that what you're saying?
I think that would count for the things that are like we call trees but are technically grass. Like I think like bananas are one of those. I don't know. That I'm not a botanist. I'm getting that all wrong. No, I would if you're talking about clear cutting like forest, absolutely go nuts. I hate that stuff. Get rid of it. Get it out of my sight.
There's nothing living
that's more. That's more room for meadows. Get that shit out of here.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Now suddenly I'm against your proposal because I quite enjoy it.
All right. I just have one question for you. Who from the tick agenda paid you off?
I'm right. You guys can't see me, but I'm carefully nudging a tiny, tiny bag with a dollar sign on it behind me.
Big Tick is behind this proposal. I can feel it in my bones.
Guys, I want to pitch that the bribe money is blood because that's what ticks would use for money.
They would use that. It's literal blood money. Yeah. I couldn't say no. I mean, you know.
Tiggs drink, like, dead blood, or does it have to come straight from the source?
God damn it. Another weird thing to Google. Great.
I would think it would have to come straight from the source, because I don't think they would have the mouth parts to, like, lap things up.
Oh, hey, right? they don't
like,
what if you gave him a tiny straw?
Well, you just injected blood into him.
Raul, so yeah. Because the last two things I Googled were, how did the monkey poop in space, and do you poop in a coma? So when I started typing in, do ticks drink dead blood, the first suggestion was, do ticks poop?
Do they?
They sure do.
That's
They'll
wild.
Poop your own blood back onto you. That's how nasty they are.
That's disgusting.
Ticks are awful, okay? And yeah. You know what? If mowing my lawn 100 times only kills one tick, I call it worth it.
Oh, I get the feeling my proposal is going to go down in flames. I don't know. Well, let's put it to the vote.
I can't stress, let's put it to the vote, but I cannot stress this enough. You had me until you're like, also, this lets you destroy the Amazon rainforest.
No, but we're not destroying it. We're just turning it into something else.
We're transforming it into no longer existing. Yeah.
Actually, I would say we're transmuting it.
Like the alchemists of old.
Into factories.
Okay.
Into coal smoke. What's wrong with that?
Look, the thing is, Lawrence, matter and energy can never be destroyed. It's not going anywhere.
And that's why global warming isn't real.
And it's, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the galaxy closed system libs.
I'm owning the libs by refusing to understand the laws of thermodynamics. Powerful. Anyways, okay, let's vote. I'm gonna vote nay, Ronald.
I'm a mixed bag on this one. I'll abstain.
Okay, Rahul.
Okay.
I vote for it because lawnmowers are loud and I hate all loud sounds.
Yeah, they fucking suck.
So, Dan, are you voting for your own proposal?
Yes, I am voting for my proposal.
So, lawns, not mowed, rainforest, gone. Fantastic.
Rainforest,
green light. Already on our way on the second one, so. Nothing changed.
It's probably fine. Question mark. Okay, Rahul, do you have a law?
I sure do. Now, my law requires a lot of infrastructure to make happen.
Okay.
And technology that doesn't exist yet. But just imagine,
I love that. I love
everyone's got a Neuralink and they've all got super good internet. Now, a photo or a mental impression of a very particular hummingbird is beamed to everyone's brains simultaneously at all hours of every day. That's the first part of this law.
What?
Second part of this law is that this rare particular hummingbird is drowned in Northern Ireland every day at 12 p.m. Third law.
What
third
the
part
fuck?
Of this law, it's 12 hours later, everyone in the world at 12 a.m., everyone, like, it's all synced, it's like GMT. Everyone at 12 a.m. GMT has to simultaneously pray to resurrect this rare hummingbird. And keep in mind, they have got a perfect mental impression of said hummingbird that was drowned in Northern Ireland just 12 hours prior. Now, that's my law.
Wait, what? So is this to prove that God doesn't exist?
No, I want to prove that human thoughts have the power to resurrect.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, now
this is less of a law and more of an experiment.
Now, Rahul, does this only happen once, or is this constant? Like,
every
are we
day,
all?
Baby. Keep.
What if it doesn't work the first day?
Got to keep trying. That's science.
Okay. What if it does work?
Then we got to keep trying so we can have hummingbird zombies.
We got. Yeah, it's not science. It's not science until it's replicable. We got to do it again and again.
Is there any point in time in which we accept the outcome of the experiment and stop doing it?
No, I don't think you could ever have enough data. You know, that's science 101.
What if we drown all of the rare hummingbirds in the world?
No.
And well, they had it coming.
We're going to have to start drowning other birds.
we start doing on other birds?
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to run out of birds. You know, like, I think how many chickens we kill every day.
Yeah, we're gonna finish the job that asteroid started on the dinosaurs.
I'm back to finish the job.
I like that. So you run out of hummingbirds, so you start drowning chickens. And it's just like, what's the point of this? I don't know.
We stopped doing the praying for resurrection thing. It's just the drowning.
And then every day we choose one lucky family on Earth, and they get to eat the chicken. And that's the only.
I don't have hummingbirds because we're only drowning one a day, you know.
But it's a rare hummingbird.
It is a rare hummingbird. We can breed them. We can clone them. This is like
America. I mean, at that point, it won't be rare. Yeah,
like the fucking puppy mills for rare hummingbirds.
Okay. You know,
We're cloning the rare hummingbirds just to drown them?
Sad truth. But
for the experiment, yeah.
I got break few eggs, as they say.
You know, I don't think this is going to make any more sense no matter how many questions we ask. So I'm going to vote we just vote. You guys can vote.
All right.
Okay.
Well, look, dude, what if it works, right? That we've proved that human thoughts have the power to resurrect. If everyone in the world just thinks about one thing, maybe they can make it happen.
You know,
because that's likely.
It doesn't matter. It's just a law.
Okay, but even if it does work, then we still have to keep doing it forever.
So. Yeah, but now we can channel our thoughts onto other things.
No, we can't. We got to keep doing the fucking hummingbird. It's the law.
You wrote it in the law.
Yeah, but then we'll make another law. You know, like at 4 p.m., you got to do this other thing.
So our entire lives from now on are just breeding rare hummingbirds and then willing things back from the dead.
Sounds pretty good to me, man.
And that's the best case scenario on this law. More likely, it's just constantly watching hummingbirds die.
You know, Lawrence, this does sound like how psychers maybe begin. You know,
it could be.
Like maybe the next law is we open up a rift, and
whatever comes out, we fuck it.
Huh. Save that.
That sounds like heresy, friends.
Save that for the next legislative session. That might have to be a law.
I call the vote.
I call the
vote. Okay, fair enough. I'm going to vote no because I think this is dumb.
Oh,
all right.
Okay.
I guess rejecting the premise of this bit.
I'm going to vote yay because I'm interested to see the experiment outcome.
Raul?
Yeah. And I'm gonna co-sponsor the bill just to see beautiful things die.
The rainforest is going down, so are these goddamn birds.
With the Senator Dan's support, I'm thrilled to say that this law is now the law of the land.
Report for hummingbird prayer duty. Noon tomorrow.
I'm so excited. I've never been a religious person before.
Are we gonna have to build like the hummingbird project masjids? We're gonna have to build like prayer houses.
Oh, you know, that'd be kind of cool, actually.
Hummingbirds
are legitimately beautiful.
So that makes this law this is one of the biggest investments in federal infrastructure development in a century.
Yeah, hummingbirds, like houses, you know.
Yeah, Gerald creation in the you know, the hummingbird cloning mills and
high speed internet across all of America and indeed the world.
Hummingbird prayer chaplains.
We're also going to have to try to figure out which religion I guess we could just cycle which god we pray to every cycle and see what happens.
That's a part of the experiment.
Yeah.
We'll be able to prove which god is real.
Oh, yeah. Then we can kill him. I mean,
we can finally kill him.
I mean, what?
I mean, what is God?
Harvest his blood.
What is God if not a giant hummingbird? It could be drowned in Ireland while the world watches in horror. Okay, now
Lawrence, what's your law?
My law, it's pretty simple. I want to explain it a little bit. So as we all know, I am the wrath of gods and the desolation of the earth. There is nothing that lives that I cannot kill with my bare hands, and where I go, nothing lives. So with that in mind, I think that it should be illegal to be mean to me because, you know, if people are mean to me, maybe I'll decide that humans shouldn't exist anymore or something.
Wait, so you're so powerful, everyone you can destroy everything, but your feelings are hurt if someone's mean to you?
Now, see, this is the kind of thing...
Well, that's kind of how God is, right? I mean, that's the Old Testament.
He turned that one woman into salt for looking over her shoulder or something.
He sent bears to
go kill some children for making fun of his favorite bald guy.
And it wasn't even that mean making fun of him. They just said he smelled bad, and he probably smelled bad if you read that story.
You spend a couple weeks out in the Jordanian wilderness and see how you smell, you know?
Yeah. Dude, I smell bad after like one day of a slightly moderate heat.
One day? Yeah. Dude, I can smell you from here. It's only been a half a day.
Yeah, fair. That is fair.
And also, I would like to point out that this bill also means that, like, if there's a movie or a television show that I like, no one's allowed to criticize it because that's sort of implying that I have bad taste.
Hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which
is
kind of,
I mean, that's the most important thing about all this.
What if people say compliments about you, but they say them ironically?
Well, that's probably okay, as I'm generally pretty bad about picking up sarcasm and irony. But if they are obvious about it, they would have to, of course, be put to death.
Oh, man. Okay. Dude, so Lawrence, this bill is such a good idea.
Thank you,
Ronald. What if they make compliments about you, but you can tell they're being insincere?
You know what? I'm just glad they're putting out the effort. We can't control what's in our hearts. I'll be okay with that. I'm not
You're
a monster.
You're so wise. This is great. I would never say bad things about you.
Yeah, exactly.
What would you do to someone who had Tourette's around you?
I would I'd probably give them a pass, honestly. Maybe we should work to try to not have
I might have Tourette's, honestly.
Well, if you go in and get a note from your doctor that has you have Tourette's, you know.
I just texted him.
So are you the only arbiter of are you the only arbiter of what is an insult and what isn't?
Well, I would deputize some people that I trust and
can we put in a rider on this bill? That I am the arbiter of what counts as an insult and what doesn't?
Well, no, because you're one of the people who's very mean to me a lot of the time, Ronald.
All right.
He's not that mean to you.
First, let's vote on the rider, okay?
Very mean to you.
All in favor of me being the arbiter of what's an insult and what's not.
Okay.
Say
aye. I vote against.
Aye.
Dan,
I'm voting against.
Ronald,
sorry,
so close.
I'm sorry. It's just I'm too much of a hater. I gotta be a hater.
Wait, so you're saying you would be down to be the arbiter?
Yeah, are you down to be the arbiter then?
Oh, we're voting on the arbiter. I'm sorry, I got mixed up.
Oh yeah, we're voting on whether I'm the arbiter.
Yeah, we're voting whether or not to add to Lawrence's bill without his permission.
So we're voting on an amendment to the bill.
Okay. Before we vote on the bill.
All right. In such case, I feel like Ronald would allow me to be a hater, so I'm voting for that amendment.
All right. Then, you know what, Lawrence? With that amendment passed, I have full confidence in this.
Okay, I am now voting against this bill.
I still vote for it.
Ronald slipped in a poison pill amendment, typical for Democrats, which I happen to know Ronald is one. I completely defeated the purpose of my good bill.
Oh, God. I have to vote for it because Ronald supported me on the other thing, which I forgot. Something else important.
Something about hummingbirds.
Dan.
Mm-hmm. All right, Dan, are you for or against the overall?
I got to make it. I got to make it a clean sweep. I feel very confident that Lawrence's misgivings are misplaced, and I think this will actually work out very well.
All right, awesome. We did it, folks. Good ball, Lawrence.
You know what? In a couple of years, when I end all life on the planet except for the dogs, you'll know who to blame, and it's Ronald.
How would the dogs survive without all the other life? The whole ecosystem is...
You're not ready. You're not ready for that knowledge.
They'll be sent into space with special vacuum toilets.
I've looked at your chakras, Raul. You're not ready for that mystery. God damn it.
Dogs are well standing.
Yeah, they're the ultimate beings, really.
I just want one of these to not be about poop. God damn it. My beautiful podcast is now a poop.
You started it with that one episode where we talked about whether we'd eat with our butts or something.
That one seminal episode, the details of which escape me.
Yeah. That was your idea.
Yeah.
And that set the tone forever.
God fucking damn it. Anyways. You guys want to do some recommendations and cautions?
Yeah.
Ronald, I want to do a recommendations and cautions section, but I kind of feel like your recommendation or caution is going to be about poop. And if that's the case, I don't really want to do the segment. So be straight with me. Is your recommendation or caution going to be about poop?
You know, I think everyone already knows my stance on poop. So I don't really need to recommend or caution against it.
Okay, your stance is pro-poop, but in very weird contexts.
I'm pro, like, space pooping, standing.
Shouting before you poop.
Yeah, letting everyone know.
Basically anything but the normal way of doing it, actually.
Oh, yeah, so you think that the normal way of quietly pooping ashamedly is the correct thing to do?
In a room where you can dispose of the evidence quickly and it's usually equipped with a way of getting rid of the smell. Yes, I think that that is the best way of pooping, generally speaking.
I'm sorry, man. I'm pro poop positivity.
God damn it. Okay, Dan.
All right. Let me give some recommendations here. Okay. This week I'm going to recommend a video game called Enter the Gungeon. It's a pretty old game. It's been around for 5 or 6 years now. But it's great. Since it came out, it's had a free expansion come out. That's also great. I just recently got back into it and played through it a few times. Super fun still. Really great roguelike top-down shooter, bullet hell type of game. If that sounds like something you're interested in, you would probably be very interested in this game. It's really good. My caution, I'm really sad to say this, and I, you know, it's not even near finish of the first season, but I'm still going to say it. Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power. Now, this is kind of a light caution. I really want to like this show. There are some very big positives in the show. Like, it looks amazing.
It stars the chick from Saint Maud.
That doesn't mean anything to me, but that's cool. Honestly, there's a lot of stuff that is very cool and very interesting about it, and maybe at some point they're going to circle back and start getting it right. But right now it's a huge mess. It's all over the place. There's like 8 different plot lines, and none of them are connected. It's about Sauron, who we already know what happens to him, so it's kind of like it's not. They act like it's a big mystery, and it's not that interesting of a mystery because literally we know what happens. Everyone who watched the movies, at least. I don't know what they're trying to do with it. It's not very interesting yet. And I just don't think it's really worth checking out until it gets better. So that's my caution.
How many episodes have you seen?
I've seen 3, so like 3 hours worth.
Okay.
Which I think is enough for me to say what the tone is.
I mean, like, a lot of times shows will just start spawning all these plot lines, and
right,
usually you have an idea that they're not going to be able to wrap them up.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, there's other shows where they have a bunch of different characters doing stuff and they don't necessarily connect, but they're thematically connected, or you can kind of see as the viewer that these events are going to connect in some way, even if the characters don't. But I don't feel like that's what's going on in the show. Like, the different plot lines just seem totally disparate, and I don't know when they're going to connect, and if they do, I don't even care because the characters aren't that interesting, which seems harsh, but it's honestly, like, it's a lot of telling and not showing, and there's a couple of okay things in it, and they're, you know, if they focused on 2 characters, maybe, it would be probably a lot less messy, but yeah, just, I don't know. That's my opinion on it.
Okay, Dan, do you got some recommendations and cautions?
Yeah. So I have a a recommendation for a book that I think listeners of this show would really enjoy, and all you guys. I think you'd get something out of it.
It's a little tome called Everybody Poops.
No, I wouldn't do that to you, Lawrence. No, this was one that I picked up on a whim at a used bookstore for $1, which is honestly the origin story of a lot of the best books I've ever read. I wouldn't necessarily call this one of the best books I've ever read, but if you have a soft spot for your kind of 70s, 80s, fantasy inflected or science fiction inflected fantasy stuff. There's a novel called God Stalk, so God and then S-C-A-L-K, by P.C. Hodgel. I had actually never really heard of this. It turns out it's like the first novel in like a 10-book series. So the fact that I enjoyed it bodes well for me. But yeah, it was first published in 1983. There it is. First published in 1982, paperback in 1983. It's just a really neat little unexpected treat of a mysterious young woman who's missing her memories happens upon this huge rambling city that has kind of accumulated the cultural detritus of centuries and is filled with temples and worshipers of dozens of gods who are all real and is in fact haunted by the kind of ghosts of gods who have been forgotten. And it's a very neat setting, very colorfully drawn characters, just a real hoot. I've had a really good time with it. And it's one of those things I took a gamble for a dollar at a used bookstore and it really paid off big dividends. So I want to talk it up. Godstalk by P.C. Hodgel. Something I will warn people off of, I just don't feel like in today's modern age, the 3.5-inch floppy disk can really pull its weight anymore. It's just for all the applications I need, you know, it just does not have the kind of storage capacity I need. So don't worry about going in for a floppy disk drive. Just, you know, it's fine. Just use like a thumb drive or
that's
honestly
just ridiculous. I mean, like, how could you fill up an entire floppy? Like, what are you even putting on it?
Well, recipes, a few pictures, you know, low-res pictures, but you know, a few text documents, two or three, you know, term papers.
You need more than that.
I live a high-tech lifestyle. I'm a data whiz. Data is flying fast and furious. I can't sit there and wait for it to write on these 3.5-inch
copies.
Yeah,
you sound like a cyber guy.
I am a real cyber guy. And, I think the world has moved on, or at least the fast-paced world that I live in.
My shit, boys. We got us a neuromancer.
It's crazy. I remember being in 8th grade or 6th grade and running around with a floppy disk in my pocket. And now it's like you can buy a friggin' 4-terabyte hard drive for like $70. It's a factor of storage. It's radically changed. It's unbelievable.
How much can you store on a floppy now? Again, is it like 3.5, a megabyte?
Right, 3.5 megabytes.
No, gosh, I don't
1.7 megabytes. Either way, it's in the megabyte range.
Yeah,
yeah, it's like something minuscule.
Yep. It's 1.44 megabytes was apparently the original one.
That's hilarious.
I know. That's like, dude, you go to Facebook and like the website will load like many times that. You know?
Oh yeah.
It's nonsense.
So yeah, so I think y'all will all agree, like it's time to just be done with them. I've had it. I'm over it.
Yeah.
Now, 3.5-inch floppies. Stay away. I'm done.
Okay. Am I right? I'll keep that in mind. I don't know. I'm not sold yet, but I'll think about it.
Ron's got his word star in the background.
I'm taking notes on my word star as you say this.
Well, you know, Dan, you're talking shit, but I will have you know that in 1999, they introduced a floppy disk with a whole 200 megabits capacity, I want to say.
Oh.
Might be megabytes.
Well, yeah. Hey, that's right, not nothing.
I mean, it kind of is at this point. Anyway.
It's like 25 megabytes?
Yeah.
That's like a tenfold increase from the regular one, or 20-fold.
The thing on it, it's listed as M lowercase I B, and I straight up have never seen whatever the fuck that thing is style
megabytes.
Is.
That's power to the 10 instead of 8. Or great. Vice versa.
Powerful.
Oh, weird. Okay. Yeah. All right.
All right. Anyways, Rahul, do you have something to plug aside from knowing
I do
kind
have
of
plug.
Obscure?
Okay. So this guy posted this amazing fucking thing.
We're supposed to do recommendations. Whatever.
I have no recommendations. I have no recs or cautions.
This is a recommendation.
Yeah. This is my recommendation. This guy posted this, made this amazing post. He's in Vietnam and he says, bought this chonky transformer for $1,400. It'll be delivered to my house next week. Any idea what I should do with it? And it's like this industrial transformer. It's like multiple tons. It's like a 20,000 volt industrial transformer.
He bought it for $1,400?
Well, it's Vietnam. So
Yeah, I get that part. But like, he didn't have anything in mind and he just blew $1,400
on a thing that weighs several tons and it's probably the size of a room or something?
And it's filled with like fucking toxic transformer oil.
Oh my,
what the fuck? You just bought this?
Can you cancel that?
What should I do with this guy?
So, is your plug for buying a transformer or watching the video? I can see this going either way.
It's, I don't have a video, unfortunately. It's just a picture.
Wait, okay. is there a picture of the transformer?
Yeah.
Is the plug to look at the picture?
No, the plug is the dude.
Is the transformer.
Transformer. It's the concept of just buying a transformer on a whim.
Are you going to... go ahead, Dan.
I was going to say, we're plugging that guy's energy. We're plugging that guy's vibe.
We're plugging the vibe.
Can you imagine... Okay, just imagine you're just at your place and you're like, whoa, that's a sweet transformer on Craigslist. And you buy it and they just like drive it over in this like big old truck and they take a crane and drop it in front of you.
In your driveway. Yeah.
Just drive off. You call your friends and you're like, hey man, I'm gonna come over and
that AC current? You want to make it fucking DC? Is that what transformers do? I don't know. I don't remember. You want to offset the phase component of your AC current to reduce your electricity bill?
Hey, sometimes you just like hearing the buzz, you know? You just want to hear that transformer buzz.
Love that buzz.
Rahul, what the fuck do transformers do? I'm angry now. Tell me.
No, they can convert AC to DC or they can convert AC to AC. So this would be a step-down transformer and it would convert the 20 kV to whatever, you know, some other.
Right. So it's transforming the power that's coming off the main trunk lines into something that won't destroy your house when it goes in your house.
Now, Raul, for about half of that story, I was convinced that the man had bought a Transformers action figure. It would have made more sense.
Yeah, I was trying to think of like which one would I describe as chonky, and I'm like, well, they're all kind of chonky. Yeah.
They're vehicles. So.
Yeah,
it's just the idea of buying some monstrous industrial equipment has always like tickled me. Like I've always wanted to do it, but like I'm not stupid enough to do it. So this guy just lived my fantasy.
You know, you own your own house now. You could do that.
I just Although you check your fucking industrial transformer. You know what I mean? Like
in your yard.
I have no way to move it there. Like
rent a crane.
Yeah, Lawrence, you're full of ideas. You're hired.
Buy one of those military trucks that they sell because they have too many of them.
I really wanted to buy one, and I was going to buy one when I was going to buy
a transformer or a truck?
The truck
so that he can move a transformer.
I wanted to buy a military surplus vehicle, but the thing is you have to get them running. I don't know shit about how to fix cars or really anything. I'm just not capable of that. Also, their mileage is terrible. So both of those things, unfortunately,
they're stupid.
It kind of puts the kibosh on that.
It does, but it sounds so cool to have like an MRAP type vehicle, you know, just parked in my driveway.
You should message the seller and be like, "Does it come with the missiles?"
What kind of vehicle do you think I'm buying, Ronald?
A surface to air missile launcher.
I think they're selling that one.
Here's a little bit of extra fun. When you buy it and ask if it still comes with the missiles, sign your email correspondence, yours in a law. Oh, see what happens.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
See, and these are to CC the FBI.
Yeah, I'll say, Allahu Akbar, peace be upon you.
Anyways, I got some fucking recommendations and cautions. Well, recommendations. So I've been trying to do this. It's currently September 22nd. And I've been doing this kind of thing where I want to listen to all horror audiobooks in October. You know, pretty standard stuff. And I want to be listening to a horror audiobook when October ticks over. But the problem is that I keep finishing the damn things like way before October. So I've been through like two audiobooks that I each thought was going to get me over through October and in the past 2 weeks, which is kind of weird.
But I like both of them. So the first one is Usher's Passing by Birmingham's own Robert R. McCammon. This is exactement. This is a very strange novel where it presupposes that the events of the fall of the House of Usher happened, and that, but also that Edgar Allan Poe wrote about them because he heard the rumors. So the first chapter of it is just a Welsh guy going and chatting at Edgar Allan Poe for defaming his family by writing a short story about them. and then it jumps forward into the future, and it's the story of young Rix Usher, who's being called back to the Usher estate. He's been trying to make it as a horror author, and his father is dying of that weird thing that the Usher has in the fall of the House of Usher. And so, and they all, his family runs this massive arms manufacturer, and they have to figure out like who's going to inherit and who's going to take it over. And it turns out the family has a metric ton of like dark secrets, and every like third character is a secret serial killer or something else in this novel. It's really nuts. It's 400 pages. I think it has an insane plot twist like every 20 pages. It's really something to get. I don't want to reveal too much because a lot of the joy of it is just like, wait, that happened? What the fuck?
Yeah.
But I will. So to give you kind of an example, there is towards the end of the book, Rix discovers that one of his ancestors wrote a concerto for piano where anyone who heard it would commit suicide several days later. And this is mentioned twice in the novel and turns out not to matter at all. And yet, I mean, that's just the kind of weird detail that he's constantly throwing in. And then the second book I have is The Ritual. It is another Adam Neville book. I keep recommending Adam Neville because I really like his stuff. This was adapted into a Netflix movie, although it appears, based on my reading of the Netflix summary, that this is quite different. Basically, four guys go hiking very far to the north of, in Sweden, in one of the last primeval forests. They're just hiking around one of the last primeval forests in Europe, but two of them are bad at hiking, so they decide they have to take a shortcut through the forest. And then it turns out there's a fuck-off monster in the forest that starts stalking and eating them while they're walking through the forest and discovering more and more, like, horrible things about, like, the monster and the community that was around the monster and all that. There is a plot twist through it about halfway through that is not in the Netflix movie at all and that is legit insane. And once I figured out what was happening, I laughed my head off a bunch. So I think you should check it out for that, if nothing else, because it really is quite a novel plot twist. Also, the tension in it is pretty good. The description of the forest is nice. And I really enjoyed the character work, even if that basic plot of four people get lost in the woods and stalked by a monster is pretty old hat. You're done with that by about halfway through and it turns into something much stranger. So give it a whirl. And I have no caution aside from being friends with Ronald and Rahul, who will fuck up your goddamn cool podcast with all their potty talk.
Hey, I forgot. You reminded me of something I want to recommend. I want to recommend The Sandman on Netflix. I liked it a lot. I've read some of the Neil Gaiman stuff. It's in the same style. You can really tell that, like, a writer had a hand in you know, in how the story went. In the show, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like a lot of times you watch a show and it's just like what Ronald was talking about with Lord of the Rings, where it's just like stuff is happening and it's like not coming together. I thought Sandman was fantastic. I don't know if it's ended or what, or they're releasing it on a regular cadence, but yeah, what I've seen so far has been really good.
All right. And with that out of the way, I actually, since Raul already spent his joke plug, I have another plug. But Dan, would you like to actually plug something real before all of our stupid bullshit?
Oh, sure. Well, I would plug coming up. Oh, and this will be of interest to your listeners and you guys, that the podcast network that the Cannonball is a part of, the Agora Podcast Network, has an annual Halloween tradition called Agoraphobia. It's very clever. Indeed. So it's like a collaboration across all the different podcasters that are involved in the network, creating unique Halloween-y themed, spooky, horror-ish kind of content in their various kind of veins of expertise. So you'll have like like history podcasters doing some sort of macabre event from history, or typically myself and Claude for the Cannonball will contribute some kind of discussion on a horror related kind of literary topic. But it's a lot of fun. You can find it. It's on the podcast network has its own RSS feed, which is just the Agora Podcast Network. You can find it anywhere you get your podcasts. So there'll be all kinds of fun special episodes from a ton of a big variety of podcasters coming out around the Halloween-y theme. And you might y'all might try it out. You might find a new podcaster that you like.
And also, nice. If you check the archive on that feed, I was actually on an episode from last year where Claude and talked at great length about a bunch of horror stories, and I got a bunch of small facts slightly wrong in a way that I guarantee will infuriate you.
I listened to that episode.
Yeah.
Among other things, I say that Hugo Gernsback edited Weird Tales, which is not correct at all. Anyways.
Ooh, ouch, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty infuriating to me.
I'm gonna have to after we're done recording, we're gonna have to talk, buddy. Sorry.
Yeah. That's legal problems. So I would just like to plug kind of living the Lawrence lifestyle, you know, getting up extreme. Okay, first of all, you're gonna want to acquire a friendly, an extremely affectionate but very poorly trained dog, and grow a very large beard. And then you need to get up extremely early in the morning and go walk your dog and run in the woods extremely long distances, and then go to a job that you're not very good at, but it kind of doesn't seem to matter, so great. And then you go record podcasts with your friends who infuriate you, and it's you keep running longer and longer distances, and no, people have stopped being impressed long ago, but you keep doing it anyways, and you know, just living that life. It's fantastic. Anyways.
Sounds lovely.
Yeah. You are an incredible runner. I'm very impressed.
Yeah. Anyways, from all of us at Bad Time Radio, don't worship Satan. It's bad for you. And don't poop sitting down because of fucking Ronald. Good night.
If you'd like to recommend an episode of Old Time Radio for us to listen to, send us a question for the mailbag, or a pedantic correction, you can reach us at radiobadtime@gmail.com. Our theme music is Finger in the Bottle by We Ashore Dedicated off their album No Ski Here Okie Sap. Thanks so much for listening.
Life's gonna